Blog Talk Radio.
How you guys doing? Welcome to Sportsaholics 24/7. My name is Brandon Levy, filling in the host shoes for Mr. John Gross, although he is on the line today along with Nicky Martino. How you guys doing?
Hey, Brandon.
What's up, Brandon?
How you doing?
All right. So, first off, what a day yesterday, right? I mean,
yeah,
the NFC Championship games were just unbelievable to watch. I obviously was right because I am the guru.
Yeah,
Nick
was
obviously
real.
Wrong.
I was right about one of them.
I was wrong about
one of them. The
both
obvious,
of them, right?
Was I wrong about both? I don't remember.
I think you were.
I think I picked the Seahawks. I think I was right about that one.
Oh, you're right about one of them. Okay then.
Yeah, I mean that game was unbelievable.
I have too much
especially
trust
with the
in
free
Brady.
Play on fourth down. Mm-hmm. That was crazy.
But you predicted Brady. Mm.
Yeah,
well,
I am
happy the Patriots are out as much as I respect Tom Brady. I'm a diehard Jet fan. I hate the Patriots, but I do like Tom Brady a lot. I have deep respect for him. But, you know, it's really nice to see the Patriots lose. It's always heartwarming.
Yeah. All right, so,
I completely agree. Losing to the Patriots always feels good. All right, so let's get your opinions on yesterday. What did the Seahawks do right to win that game?
I think, for me, it was defense. You know, they scored 23 points, which is good, not great. But two great defenses, and the Seahawks defense just played better. They forced Kaepernick to throw two interceptions, including one of the last play of the game. He fumbled the ball. They had made some great plays, you know. Richard Sherman, we're going to talk about him a little later. He had a very nice play at the end of the game. But it was, you know, Cam Chancellor playing well, a lot of guys playing well. And while the 49ers defense did play well, I think that Navarro Bowman injury kind of just affected the whole team, just their kind of mentality that kind of just said, it's tough to go out and play after an injury like that. But I think the Seahawks defense won that game.
Yeah, I agree with that, John. The Seahawks defense. Now, a lot of it was a battle with the defense. Now, the reason why I predicted the 49ers is because most recently, Kaepernick has been playing better than Russell Wilson. And the Niners' offense in general has been better. And their defense has risen up to the level of the Seahawks. Now, a lot of it, however, at the same time, the Seahawks, that game, their defense rose up to a level higher than the Niners' defense. It was a lot of it happened in the second half. That second half was basically the turning point of the game. Colin Kaepernick's a great quarterback. I don't care what any idiot says. Colin Kaepernick's a great quarterback. He just was against the best defense in the NFL. And honestly, very few quarterbacks in the NFL right now would have gotten past that defense. Very few. The only quarterbacks who have gotten past that defense are basically Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers. Those are the only guys who could possibly get past that defense in the NFL right now. So
and maybe Drew Brees.
Did you see Drew Brees in that Saints Seahawks game? Did he come anywhere near getting past that defense? Come on.
He's still a top five quarterback.
Brees.
Maybe Drew Brees
Although
can do
Drew
it.
Although Drew Brees is great. I guess he has a shot, but not. I mean, but Aaron Rodgers, I would trust in that. So I don't want to hear all this trash about Colin Kaepernick, how he's not good or anything. You got to give him all the credit in the world. Look at how his QBR in the playoffs before that game was 82. You've got to give the guy credit. Look at how amazing he played against Green Bay. Look at how Brady played against Carolina. And you're going to tell me Kaepernick's trash because of one game, because he couldn't get past the Seahawks defense? And he almost did it. He really almost did it. So it was really the defense. And don't forget the Seahawks' 13th man, the refs. Can't forget about that. The Seahawks' 13th man. I'm not even a 49er fan. I would have to say they were their 13th man. Brandon, what do you think?
Well, I think the Seahawks did one thing right and a lot of things wrong. And I honestly think the Seahawks kind of escaped with that game, because the Seahawks' main job in order to keep this game in their grasp was to keep Colin Kaepernick inside the pocket. And they failed miserably doing that. It was
during
the game. Colin Kaepernick had 101 rushing yards out of the team's total of 104. So, to be completely honest, I don't think it was the Seahawks who really stepped up. I actually think it was Pete Carroll and the play calling of the Seattle Seahawks offense that won them the game, because they called beautiful, beautiful sets of plays, especially late in the game. And on that 4th and 7, that free play, Russell Wilson may or may not have delivered the second-best pass I have seen in these playoffs. The best coming from, Peyton Manning, but, you know. That was just unbelievable. He fit that ball in just a spot that a ball should never be fit in, and it was unbelievable.
All right, now
I
have a question for you guys. You know, that Navarro Bowman injury, he's one of my favorite players in the NFL, played at Penn
NBA.
State, you know, great linebacker, one of the best linebackers in the NFL. Now, there was a fumble on the play. It was recovered by the 49ers.
Oh, my God.
After the pile, the Seahawks had it. Now, the NFL rule says something like, you know, they cannot review who recovers the fumble to what comes out of the pile
thing.
With it. It's the dumbest rule. And I just have to imagine, though, you guys are probably most in agreement with me when I say that they should really change that rule, because it doesn't. It's not fair. It's not the proper thing. Like, what's the point of having instant replay if you're not going to review a play that crucial and that big? And I know the next play, the Seahawks were stopped. They fumbled the ball, but it's still just the thought of that happening. You know, I don't get it.
I agree 100%, John.
I completely understand with you, and I understand your frustration and whatever. But I mean, some rules in the NFL were conceived at a time when, you know, the technology that we have wasn't there or wasn't necessary.
But why can't they just
change
that?
Some of those rules were left unchanged until a certain circumstance forced them to change it. And this is the certain circumstance that's going to change this rule. Obviously, they have no idea about this, and they have to change it. It's not a mistake, because at the time when the rule was created, it was a good rule. But now that there is a play, especially one as significant as that, to, you know, convince the NFL owners and the commissioner to change it, that's exactly what they will do. So I'm not necessarily mad that the rule was in place, because at the time the rule was a good idea.
So you're telling me at the time it was a good idea to not be able to review such a crucial play? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, they didn't have instant replay back then. I'm assuming.
Well, but they didn't say that about anything. Back in the day, you couldn't review anything.
I agree.
You also couldn't review a touchdown. You also, and you said not anything.
Brandon, I agree with part of what you're saying. Like, I get what you're saying about how, you know, they had this rule and they haven't thought to change it because nothing's happened that has caused them to have to change it until now. This is going to be a catalyst for the NFL to change this rule. And I agree with you on that, but it just pisses me off that they have these dumb rules like that. You know, we've seen some other, I can't think of any specific ones, but, you know, there have been ones in recent history. Yeah, Tuck rule, obviously.
Tuck rule.
And they changed that, yeah.
The game against the New York Jets game, how Chris Jones pushed his own guy into the pile during the game when it kicked. Another dumb rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll admit that. I mean, the Patriots totally should have won that game. I'll As a diehard Jet fan, I'll admit that. However, the time the Jets played the Patriots before, the Jets should have won that game. The Jets got screwed that game. But anyway, that is so stupid. My feeling is this. If you have the tools to fix a problem, then fix the damn problem. Why would you make it a rule to not fix such a big issue, such a crucial part of the game? If you can review that, let them review it. I just don't understand that. If you can fix a problem, then fix it. I just don't understand why they're preventing that from happening. I just don't understand that.
I agree. And
yes.
in a lot of professional sports. Yeah. Go on.
Here's a better question.
Okay.
What do you think of this kid, Richard Sherman?
He is
the biggest idiot in the NFL right now. And forgive my language, he is an asshole.
I agree.
A complete jerk off. He has no idea what he's doing. And now, to be completely honest, Peyton Manning is going to personally go after him. He's going to take his name down, and he's going to say, you know what? Whoever Richard Sherman is covering on my offense, that's exactly who I'm going to. And Peyton
Richard
Manning,
Sherman's
regardless of whether the Broncos win or not, he is going to make a mockery of Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman is going to get knocked so hard, he's going to go back to the womb where he was born. He is going to get destroyed on Super Bowl Sunday by Peyton Manning, whether they win or lose.
Sherman's no match for Omaha. That's all I got to say.
Sherman's never even heard of Omaha before, but he's going to hear of it.
The thing is for me with Sherman is, you know, he can back it up kind of, but at the same time, he made one good play yesterday, and it's not like he intercepted every pass. No, you know, he made one nice play at the end.
What?
And
guess
he embarrassed
what?
Himself on national television.
Hold on,
can
I just say something?
No, Nick, you're up.
So, now, I think a lot of the hype of Richard Sherman is really from his personality. Now, the question is, not taking anything away from him, as much as I hate him, he is a great quarterback. But a lot of the publicity that he's getting isn't always from his greatness, quote unquote, as a quarterback, but also from his jackass of a personality. You can't forget that too. But going back to that, first of all, the reason people are like, "Oh my God, Sherman's so great. He is going to be now widely regarded as the best cornerback in the NFL right now." From what, one play? That was the only good play he had the whole game. I mean, let's face it. Can you name me one other memorable play that he had in the whole game? Not saying he played bad, but other than that, what was so great about any other play in the game? But because of that, he hyped it up to make himself look so great. But him doing the choke symbol and all that with the smacking Michael Crabtree in the butt and all that, like, come on. Win with graciousness. That is like the 49ers, you know, it hurts to lose, especially in professional sports. And to pour salt on their wound like that from one good play, might I add, is just sick. That is just so unfortunate, like it's unacceptable. It really is.
Yeah.
And, however, I'd also like to say it was kind of stupid that they interviewed him right after that play. I mean, that's like covering yourself in blood, jumping into a shark tank, and getting surprised that you get bit by a shark. I mean, I'm not surprised at all that Richard Sherman did that. I mean, I saw it coming the whole time.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think I should get a fine for that?
NFL subject for a second. Let's look at the Cleveland Browns. They have no head coach. Every NFL team that has either fired their head coach or let go of some sort of staff has replaced them, except the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns are now banking on the Denver Broncos offensive coordinator at the end of the season to take their job as head coach. But should that not happen, the Cleveland Browns are in a heap of trouble. So I ask you this. What do the Cleveland Browns do?
I don't have a problem with what they're doing at all. They're waiting for the right guy, and you know what? That's fine. Like, why rush? They have the whole offseason, pretty much, to find a new coach. And if you want the offense coordinator, then all right, go get him. Throw some money at him, see what happens. And if not, you saw maybe Mike Munchak you can offer, a few other guys. I don't have a problem with what the Browns are doing. taking a wait-and-see approach.
Yeah, John, I agree with you 100%. But you know what this means? This means that they are really trying to get Johnny Manziel because with a new quarterback, they don't want to mix around the coaches. So that's why they're waiting for the absolute right guy. I have no problem with them getting Mike Munchak or whoever, or even if it's their current defensive coordinator who is currently right for the job. It's right for them to wait for the right guy for the job. And I can tell they're definitely looking to get Johnny Manziel.
Absolutely. If Johnny Manziel is still on the board at number four, which he will be,
and their number one priority is to have the right coach for a player like Johnny Manziel. That's I can tell you right now.
Nick, I'll one-up you on that, and I think that when the Browns draft Johnny Manziel, I think they're going to let him choose who their coach is. Seriously.
I mean, it's going to be like
wherever he goes, because we know he's going to go, he's going to be that important to that team that they're just going to him choose whoever the hell he wants to coach the team.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Johnny Manziel is at that level, to be honest, but that's probably what they do.
Right. Now, we are currently at about the halfway point in our show. This is the point where we would typically remind you to call in if you have any sort of questions, comments, concerns, anything you want to talk about. And that number is 347-884-8496. That's 347-884-8496. All right, now let's talk a little bit of soccer for a second, or football, whatever you want to call it. And I know this is a bit late of a subject, but we haven't had a show in a while, so we kind of want to do a little bit of a catch-up. Cristiano Ronaldo, left mid for Real Madrid, or left forward, whatever it is, he actually just won the Ballon d'Or, which is essentially the MVP for, you know, FIFA, soccer, international, everything like that. So, John, because I don't think Nick knows anything about soccer, what do you think of that? What are your opinions on Ronaldo's season?
Yeah, I think he's the right guy to win the award because, you know, Lionel Messi won it, what, the past four times? So it's good for a change, and those are the two best players in the world. So, you know what? Give Ronaldo a chance. He's had a great season.
And yeah, because I probably know a bit more soccer than you do. The other two nominees were Messi and Franck Ribéry. And Messi, he's been playing hurt. He's been hurt for like a couple of months, and he hasn't really been the same Messi that we all know and love. And you know,
he's been playing a little too messy.
And Franck Ribéry, he doesn't play in a good enough league. It's the same reason why Zlatan Ibrahimovic wasn't nominated, because they don't play in a good enough league to really compete. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo, on the other hand, plays in the toughest league in the world, which is La Liga. And it's easily the most competitive, especially between Barcelona and, you know, maybe Valencia, should they be so good. And, you know, that's Ronaldo clearly won. And the turning point for that, at least, was that hat-trick had against Sweden in the World Cup qualifier. I was actually watching a bit of that game. That was unbelievable what he did. And since that game, he's been on an absolute tear. And that solidified his spot as the MVP to win the Ballon d'Or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so. Yeah.
We can start a little basketball now.
What is
that? No. We got to continue with football.
All right, football.
Here's a bit of football for you. Apparently, Roger Goodell says that the NFL is considering eliminating the extra point. Why?
What?
This is breaking.
I know why. I know why. I'll tell you why. Have you ever seen a missed extra point in the NFL? I haven't.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a blocked extra point in the NFL? I haven't. If you want to go for 2-point conversion, they obviously have to still have that. But by taking that extra point, it'll make games go by quicker. Save an extra few minutes.
Well, the only reason why they have the extra point is so that it could be a differentiate between the 1-point and 2-point conversion. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, well, just give them an extra point.
See, now what I don't understand is what are they going to do with the 2-point conversion? Because if there's no extra point, then touchdowns are only worth 7. So if you get a 2-point conversion, do you lose a point if you don't get it? That's kind of confusing.
It's a good question, yeah.
So,
I don't know.
I think the system they had going right now, it works. And I think the last rule that it was okay to change in this league was moving the kickoff a bit farther. Now, I know everyone's going to bag on me for saying that. You know, nobody returns kicks anymore. Everything's a touchback. But you know what? If it makes the players safer and it has dramatically, then, you know, absolutely go for it. And, you know, we'll still get our returns. I mean, you saw what Jacoby Jones did in the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But eliminating the extra point is a pretty big deal, considering,
that
you know, what are you going to do after that? I don't think it's a big deal, but
now,
another great thing that the NFL changed is the Pro Bowl. And I think this is absolutely for the better. And that they've kind of created like a fantasy football draft almost between Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders. Yeah, this year I may watch it. Like, I've actually been debating watching it for a little bit.
There are some sporting events in basketball and football that I would never watch. There's about three sporting events in basketball and football that I would never watch. I never watched the NBA Summer League. No, four. I never watched the NBA Summer League, the NBA preseason, the NBA All-Star Game, and I never watched the NFL Pro Bowl. Those are four.
Why do you never watch
events.
The All-Star Game? The All-Star Game is so much fun.
The NBA All-Star Game sucks. Oh my God, it's
no.
boring.
It's awesome.
I want to watch
because at least in the All-Star Game, you get to see, you know, some ridiculous, like, alley-oop donks and, you know, some crazy handles and crazy plays like that. It's always fun to watch.
I have no desire to watch the NBA All-Star Game. I want to watch a real game. And worst part of it all, a lot of times it takes the place of Friday
night. Do you at least watch the Saturday night events?
No. Never.
You don't watch the dunk contest?
That whole weekend, I did not watch the NBA.
Nick, you haven't lived until you've seen the slam dunk contest.
I don't care about how some guy dunks.
Slam dunk contest
would
beat me.
The slam dunk contest
is the most entertaining part of the NBA regular season.
I strongly disagree with that. I don't even
care. Not in the past couple of years because the contestants have sucked.
Seconds.
But hey, at least Paul George may do it this year.
Nick, I have a
question. James White was in it last year.
Yeah,
he also
dunked from the free throw line and put it between his legs while doing it. Dunk contest worthy, if you ask me.
Nick, I have a question for you. If LeBron James is in the slam dunk contest, would you watch it?
No.
No.
I've seen LeBron James do plenty of dunks. I am not watching the
But
slam
it's different.
Dunk
those are in-game dunks. It's the dunk contest. They can do whatever they want. In-game, they can't.
Well, I just like to see it again. I just can't stand a dunk contest. I do not have any desire to watch it.
Nick, we should kick you off the show. We should honestly mute you off the show for saying that.
For saying
Shame
what?
On you, Nick.
Shame
on
me
you.
For hating the NBA dunk contest? I watch all the other NBA games. Why do I have to watch that?
Being an all-star in the NBA... isn't just, you know, getting to play in the one game where there's no defense. It's like a symbol. It's something you could put on your career resume.
The one game
record.
Where there's no
it's
defense.
It's the same thing with
the
Pro Bowl.
If
you just voted to the Pro Bowl, who cares about the game itself when you're a Pro Bowler and you could say that? That means you at least had one excellent season when you were far beyond your superior, when you were far beyond your former, you know, your teammates and your other – position players and the rest of the league. That's a great accomplishment to have. And as your reward, you get to play in a game where you can just do whatever the hell you want in Hawaii.
And
how awesome
that's why
is that?
I don't want to watch it, because they're doing whatever the hell they want.
I think what they did with the Pro Bowl this year is awesome. And for those of you who don't know what they did, the NFL made the Pro Bowl this year unconferenced. Meaning that in the previous years, the NFL has had representatives from the AFC and NFC play against each other. But this year, it's a compiled pool of all of the best players per position in the NFL. And the teams
are going to be drafted fantasy football style by two of the greatest NFL players of all time, Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders. That's awesome, Nick. That's awesome.
I'm still not watching it.
Yeah, I mean,
not watching it, but
hey, at least it's a kind of a debate this year.
That is going to be an all basketball weekend for me. That weekend is going to be all NBA and college basketball and twos. And unfortunately, the Australian Open will be over, so there'll be no tennis either for me to watch. But that weekend is going to be all basketball and 90s sitcoms for me. I'm sorry. Not turning it on. You'll have to do a lot to get me to watch
Nick,
the Pro Bowl.
If you're really looking for something funny, watch the Pro Bowl. It's a lot of funnier than most of the 90s sitcoms that you're talking about.
Oh, don't even go there with me. The Pro Bowl, comparing the Pro Bowl, the Seinfeld.
Everybody loves Raymond. Let's not get carried away
right
now.
This conversation's clearly getting a bit off topic. All right, I think personally we should move on.
Yeah.
What else can you say? Next topic. Let me kind of think of something to say. Oh, I have an idea. Let's talk a little bit Mets and Knicks, because they just played today, actually. And this isn't the coincidence. I did say, you know, we shouldn't really talk about this, but both teams have been playing very, very well as of late. The Knicks were on a 5-game winning streak earlier in this year. The Nets have won 7 of their past 8, including a trip to London. Now, here's your final question of the day, considering we have 4 minutes left. Which one of these teams, if only one was to make the playoffs, which one would it be? Go.
It's the Nets. Here's why. First of all, the Knicks with a lot of, you know, around the trade deadline, there's going to be a lot of rumors about Carmelo being traded, looking to trade J.R. Smith. They're not even close to as deep as the Nets. Also, you look at right now, the Knicks are on a 4-game losing streak. They just got blown out by their crosstown rivals, the Brooklyn Nets. Nets, on the other hand, have won 2 games in a row, are 7-1 in 2014. And they're rolling right now. They're in second place in the Atlantic Division.
Well,
they're starting to get hot.
Well, let's forget about what happens in January, because I completely agree with you for right now. But let's look a little bit into the future. The New York Knicks lack something that's very, very important in the NBA.
Defense.
And that thing is very simple. It's the will to win a game.
Oh,
they have no fire in their bellies. They have no heart. And they have no desire to finish out a game strong and win. They're too worried about what's going to happen afterwards, what the media is going to say, who's going to be at the club later, what country should I make fun of
J.R. Smith.
Something ridiculous like that. All right. The Brooklyn Nets, on the other hand, yes, they may be old, they may be sluggish, they may be slow, they may be bitten by the injury bug, but at least the players that are on the floor are willing to leave it all on the line to win the game, all that matters, and that's why I think the Nets are not only going to the playoffs, but they're going to win this division because the Toronto Raptors are going nowhere.
I agree with
that. Are going nowhere. The New York Knicks, well, they're already nowhere. I don't know where else they can go, but they're certainly not going up. The Brooklyn Nets are the only team that's pretty much left. I mean, the Philadelphia 76ers, I mean, just, you know, forget about it.
Now,
the Nets are winning their division.
What did you say?
The Nets are winning the division. And they're going to be .500 by the All-Star break.
I can see that happening.
I can definitely see that happening. I see them finishing in second place behind the Toronto Raptors. Now, here's the thing with the Knicks. The main problem with the Knicks right now is, their lack of desire to win. Also, there's so many things. Now, but one of the biggest is that there's really no exact key to get them better. The opinions are too split. Like, what should we do with J.R. Smith? What should we do with Mike Woodson? Do we trade Melo? Some idiots are even thinking trade Tim Hardaway Jr. and Iman Shumpert, which is really stupid, by the way. But
Nick, I'm going to have to stop you right there because we only have a few seconds left. John, your final thoughts on last weekend, and what are you looking forward to in the Super Bowl?
Last weekend was a great sports weekend, particularly in the NFL. In terms of the Super Bowl, I'm really just looking forward for the matchup between the two quarterbacks, and also then Manning versus Sherman as well.
Nick, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Peyton Manning putting Richard Sherman in his